This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson's sports talk show.
Let's do this thing.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
I'm not familiar with rap. Give me Hendrix any day and I'll go from there.
According to Jim is your home for the McPherson Bullpups.
Bullpups win! Bullpups win! Bullpups win it in overtime!
The Chiefs.
Butker's kick is up! It is right down the boulevard! And Harrison Butker kicks some, you know what!
College football and college basketball.
Eight to shoot, Hall, the runner! Loose ball, it's good! The flipper still fits!
And everything else happening in the sports world.
And the Bullpups walking off here at McPherson Stadium! Oh, this place is going crazy!
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing, According to Jim, on 96.7 FM KBBE, or for those of you listening online, worldwide, at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner, and joining me as always, the most popular man in McPherson, Steve Sell. Steve, I have saved all of my thoughts for this moment right now from everything that happened on Saturday afternoon and the early evening in Kansas City, Missouri, with the Kansas City Chiefs blowing yet another playoff game at home with a lead in the second half. I have saved all of my thoughts, all of my emotions. I refrained from social media this weekend in an effort to keep myself calm and keep myself sane. But for the second year in a row, the Kansas City Chiefs have tricked me. They have tricked me into believing that they can go on the road and beat the New England Patriots, and maybe win a Super Bowl. They have tricked me 2 years in a row. And in both of those years, they have had epic meltdowns at home in the playoffs. And this year, somehow, is even worse than any of the other meltdowns.
Now, it can't be worse than
in
Colts,
the postseason.
The Colts game can't be worse.
Here's
than
my rationale for why this is worse than the Colts game. That was a team that was coming off of a two-win season, and they were playing Andrew Luck, who at that time was one of the top quarterbacks in the league, a good Colts team that had smacked them around at Arrowhead Stadium early on that year. That was still a game that nobody really thought they should win, or nobody
but
thought
they
that they would go on and do
they
anything.
They were up 38.
Yeah, they were up 28.
Yeah.
But the circumstances this weekend, at home, against a bad team with a quarterback that hadn't done squat all season long, with their best running back out, and a clear path to take on a New England team that was falling apart at the seams and still is falling apart in some ways. They had everything paved out for them to win an easy playoff game at home when they're up 21-3 at halftime, and they are cruising.
Great first half.
And this is a Chiefs team that was clearly better than Tennessee. And for them to have the meltdown that they had in the second half of this game. And for one, it took about 50 things to go right for the Tennessee Titans and 50 things to go wrong for the Chiefs in order for this comeback to be possible. Like Marcus Mariota scrambling out to his left on third down and goal from the 6. And throwing a pass from the 6-yard line that gets batted down at the goal line, and he catches it and dives into the end zone to make it 21-10. At that moment, Steve, was that the moment when they cut it to 11 points that you went, oh no.
I said it was
Tennessee's going to find a way to win
this. If you read my column today on Sell on Sports on midkansasonline.com, I said at that moment, I knew that the football gods were going to frown on the Chiefs. And see, you had the Chiefs a lot higher in regard than I did. I just didn't think this. I thought they would win on Saturday, but I saw no prayer in New England because they'd already beaten New England this year, and you never beat Brady and Belichick in New England two times in 1 year. But I really thought at that point, I said the defense just gave up a 91-yard drive to start the second half. And I said that was spooky to me. I said, if the offense doesn't do anything on this next drive, this game's over. Tennessee's going to come back and win. And sure enough, the offense kind of went conservative,
Kind of went conservative.
Yeah, the MO of the Chiefs, you know, when they get a big lead, they take their foot off. They quit doing all their shifting reverses. Now, in the Chiefs' defense, no Travis Kelce was huge.
Yeah.
And if anyone puts this on Alex Smith, they're crazy. Because he was on the money all day. He had about four or five passes
dropped. His pass to Orson Charles?
Oh, my gosh.
Who the heck is that?
Yeah. You know, Tyreek Hill starts the game out, dropping two passes. Orson drops one. They had another dropped one. I can't remember who it was in there. But Alex Smith did not play a bad game. But I also felt the Chiefs got away from the run. I know that Tennessee had the number four ranked rushing defense coming into the game. But you got to run a little bit to keep the pass rush honest. And Kareem Hunt, 11 carries. He'd been on a roll during their four-game winning streak. But only 11 carries, that just wasn't enough.
I made the analogy earlier today that when Marcus Mariota threw a pass to himself for a touchdown to make it 21-10, I felt like I was in slow motion going into an intersection in my car. And that I start to look to my left, and I see a car heading right at me. And I'm sitting in the middle of the intersection, and there's nothing I could do. And it's in slow motion, and this car is coming at 85 miles an hour right at my left door. And that I can't do anything to back up or go forward, but that all I'm hoping to do is that this car finds a way to miss me. And that's what I felt like the entire fourth quarter, is that this car was coming, and I knew it was going to hit me, and if it did, it'd be bad. But I thought, maybe there's a chance it swerves and avoids me, and it did not. It rammed me and T-boned me right on the left side, and I am still sort of at a loss for words at how bad of a meltdown this is. And it's also just unbelievable that every time the Chiefs lose in a way like this in the playoffs, somehow it's like a 60-year record that they're breaking. Whether it's the largest lead to ever give up in the postseason, or you score two touchdowns and your opponent scores zero and you lose, or you're up by 18 in the second half at home, the first time that somebody has lost a game like that since 1953. How does this continue to happen? Who am I supposed to blame? Who am I supposed to be mad at? Andy Reid? Matt Nagy? Am I supposed to be mad at myself for believing? I don't know anymore. I don't know anything anymore because I have just continued to throw my chest and my heart and my life into football and into a team that continues to do this to me.
It always seems to me when they have these meltdowns, it starts with the defense. And to me, this game, this loss was on the defense. You get 21 points from your offense in the first half. You have a 18-point lead. You should be able to protect that. The Chiefs did not get a single stop in the second half. I think they had drives of 91, 80, and 80, if I remember right.
Not great.
Yeah, the Chiefs could not get off the field. Let's face it, that was a very pedestrian defense. If you look at the rankings, other than points allowed, their defense ranked near the bottom in most categories. The thing that helped them was they had been really good in the red zone and not giving up touchdowns but giving up field goals. But, boy, that defense, the linebackers, you know, with no Tom Bahali, basically, he's a shell of himself. Derek Johnson's old, no D Ford, you know, the double Justin Houston. That linebacking core has got to be overhauled. Frank Zombo couldn't get it done.
Frank the Tank.
Yeah, Frank's a special teams player. Kevin Pierre-Louis, or Lewis, I don't know how many tackles he missed. It just seemed like to me he was grabbing an air all day. The linebacking situation has got to be the number one thing to be addressed in the offseason. They'll get Eric Berry back next year. They'll still have Marcus Peters, so they'll have half of a decent secondary. But the defensive line, you know, Chris Jones, he went out early with an injury. That I thought that hurt.
Yeah.
Because no pass rush at all. And that was kind of the MO of the Chiefs this year. Just never had a pass rush all year. Benny Logan, he was brought in to take Dontari Poe's place. That was a definite, you know, they downgraded terribly at that spot. Alan Bailey, his best days, I think, are behind him. The other I can't even think who the other defensive end was.
Roaches.
And
he was out.
He was out. He didn't even play. So, you know, the Chiefs, their front seven, it has got to be overhauled. And don't be surprised if defensive coordinator Bob Sutton gets overhauled. It wouldn't surprise me if they decide to go another way. They'll probably go another way offensively because Matt Nagy just got named the coach of the Bears.
Right.
So they have Brad Childress, who is the former head coach of the Eagles, as kind of their quarterbacks coach. And, you know, he was kind of
the coach of the Vikings, too.
Yeah,
right?
He coached the Vikings. So, you know, they might move him into the OC spot. But this is a Chiefs team that I felt like was, you know, a semifinal team. I didn't think they were better than Pittsburgh or New England, but I sure thought they were better than the Titans. What a disappointment that was.
And yes, there were some bad calls in this game, and some calls that, even as I look back on them now, I can't understand. Like the forward progress
Derek Johnson
called on Derek Johnson, obliterating Marcus Mariota. That was awesome. But I don't understand how you can call a forward progress on a runner when not only is Marcus Mariota not running, he is standing in the pocket with his feet spread apart, with the ball cocked back and ready to throw. And to call a forward progress on a hit that the ball popped out and into the hands of Justin Houston and had a chance to take it back for a touchdown, I think, well, the Chiefs ended up scoring a touchdown after that, so it's not that they were taking 7 points away. It was that Tennessee got three out of that because they kicked a field goal directly after that. And then, with a chance to win the game on that weird two-point conversion that failed for Tennessee, where they slung Marcus Mariota around in the backfield and the ball popped out and it was taken back for a two-point conversion, which would have given them the lead and the ball, it was a bad call. But I've said it on this show before, I've said it on game broadcast, I don't blame officials for losing. No. You have to win.
Although Jeff Triplett, the head official, allegedly is going to retire.
Well, he was going to retire after this game regardless. This was his retirement gift from the NFL. They said, well, you're going to step out. Well, we'll give you one last playoff game.
Well, they thought he couldn't do any. They thought he couldn't do any damage in the Chiefs-Titans game because I think the NFL.
Did we know.
Yeah, he thought the NFL. He thought the Chiefs would be able to win that game by double digits. But no, and remember, the playoff crews don't work together during the season. And
right, they're the highest graded officials.
At their position, like the top field judge or the top line judge. And there was definitely some moments that, you know, were a little shaky. But I don't put that game on the officials. I put that game, again, on the Chiefs defense not getting a stop in the second half.
I just can't understand how this continues to happen to Andy Reid teams in the playoffs. That I'm sure you know the insanity quote of, you can't keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. And in every single playoff game, and this happens in the regular season too, that Andy Reid, with a halftime lead, will go very conservative in the second half. And in the regular season, that can happen a little bit because you can still find a way to win. The game obviously isn't as important. But in the postseason, to not be able to put your foot on the gas, hop into that left lane, and win a game, all the Chiefs had to do was score points in the second half.
And Butker,
it would be hard for them to lose.
And Butker missed a field goal. That was a big play.
For them to just score points, it would have been hard for them to lose. And for them to really not even have any sort of chance to score, they had a three and out and then punted and then recovered a muffed punt. And that resulted in the missed field goal. But they never really even had a chance to score because their offense just went so stagnant.
Well,
and when you can't even create an opportunity for yourself to win a game in the postseason at home against a bad team, that's where the problem is. How can they continue to do this over and over and over and over again and expect something different?
Yeah, and I felt like, you know, they got away from doing all their shifting and things like that. They just tried to line up and, you know, you just couldn't run at them. And, you know, Tennessee's good against the run, but, of course, the Chiefs didn't try to run it very much. But they got away from their trickeration, you know, like reverses and things like that. Went very vanilla, and that's always been the knock of Andy Reid. But I always say, you know, before Andy Reid got there, the Chiefs, you know, had only been to like one playoff in 10 years. Andy Reid's got there 4 out of 5. But has Andy Reid taken this team as far as he can take it? You know, he had the same rap in Philadelphia. Personally, I like Andy Reid.
I do too.
And he's definitely a player's coach. He came out. He took the bullet for the team. He says, put all the blame on me, none on the players. Well, I put the blame on the players. I'm sorry. You have a 21-3 lead. You got to finish the deal.
So we are trying to digest everything that's happened since Saturday, and there have been lots of columns written by people at the Kansas City Star, and Sam Mellinger wrote a really good column up there about how sports are supposed to be fun and they're supposed to make you feel good, not make you feel like that. And I'm still feeling the wrath of the Chiefs losing to the Tennessee Titans 22-21 to end their season, and now we get to watch Tennessee go to New England and be 14-point underdogs, and the Jacksonville Jaguars, who rushed for more yards than they passed for yesterday in their win over Buffalo, go up to Pittsburgh. This was the year for Kansas City, with the AFC being so open, Tom Brady being an old man, Ben Roethlisberger with his hurt foot, Antonio Brown being dinged up. This was the year, and the Chiefs absolutely blew it.
Choked, that's all you can say. You know, you don't use that word when you're covering high school and college athletes, but you can use it with pros because that's what they get paid for. They flat out choked this one away.
Well, we will try and move on and talk about other things on this show today. We will have one more segment where we talk about the Chiefs a little bit more and looking ahead to next year and what is next for them. We also have Bullpup basketball to talk about. You go from the lowest of lows with that Chiefs loss, and now the Bullpups have a big week in basketball. The boys take on two undefeated teams. The girls with a couple of top 10 matchups. We get the low of lows back to the rush of hopefully some wins.
And also the wrestling team making Kansas history. The swimming team making it 4-0. They've won four meets in a row. Bowling team did a credible job down at Wichita. So busy weekend.
We will talk about that toward the end of the show and also recap what happened in Big 12 basketball play this weekend, as one out of the two Kansas teams had a good weekend and found a way to win. So stick around. We still have a little more Chiefs to talk about here on According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You are listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back in on today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM KBBE. You can always listen on podcast at soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports. We appreciate you listening, whether you're live or on demand. I personally am an on-demand type of guy when it comes to the radio content that I take in. And so I like to accommodate for the people that are like me and like to listen on
the
time.
Man of the people.
You are more of a live guy.
I'm live.
With everything. You're going to watch games. Well, you'll record some games sometimes.
Yeah, only if I have to, though.
Yeah, you're a live guy. I like to listen to things when I want to listen to
it
because I'm just very self-centered, and that's what I need to do. Well, I'm still self-centered and upset about this Kansas City Chiefs team that has broken my heart again and tricked me and duped me into believing in them. Now we look at what is next. What happens next for this Chiefs team? The first piece of this puzzle has already fallen, that their offensive coordinator will be going to Chicago to be the Bears head coach, Matt Nagy. So he's gone. People might believe also that Bob Sutton, their defensive coordinator, might be gone. So those could be two massive pieces of this puzzle that could be gone for next season. The other ginormous centerpiece of this puzzle is the quarterback situation. And I think the public opinion was, if Alex Smith does not take this team to the AFC title game or maybe even the Super Bowl, that he will likely not be the quarterback of this team in 2018. What is it, $17 million that he would be the hit
on
the cap?
And that's the big thing. If it wasn't for the $17 million that Alex Smith would eat up in the payroll, I think he'd be back. I don't think he's going to be back. You have to remember, they gave up a number one, next year's number one for Patrick Mahomes. They're going to quarterback Mahomes, and they're going to take that $17 million and try to sign free agents because they're not going to get much out of the draft. They're going to be drafting pretty low and not very often because, you know, they gave up some picks. So I think they're going to quarterback Patrick Mahomes. Alex Smith's going to go somewhere where, you know, he'll be a appreciated maybe a little more.
I have heard rumors of the Arizona Cardinals. I have heard rumors of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Denver.
If he goes to Denver and ends up winning with that team, because Denver's defense is good enough to win right now, but with the great Paxton Lynch and the All-American Brock Osweiler and the Pro Bowler Trevor Siemian and all those great quarterbacks that they have, they don't have a chance. With Alex Smith, the Broncos have a chance. And if he goes to Denver and they win 11 or 12 games next year, I'm not going to be very happy.
Well,
regardless of what Patrick Mahomes does.
Yeah, and Patrick Mahomes, he's going to be one of those guys that'll take the Chiefs fans on a thrill ride. He'll do some great things, and then he'll do some really dumb things. I just have a feeling that's the kind of quarterback he is. He's an impressive athletic specimen. He can run. He's got a big arm. And, you know, the Chiefs, you know, with Alex Smith, they didn't throw the ball downfield much. I think with Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, he's going to see about four fly patterns a game, you know, for him to try and outrun the secondary. The Chiefs will have Chris Conley back next year, which will help. You know, that hurt the receiving corps. Spencer Ware will be back. Albert Wilson, I think, is a good player. Kelsey, of course, one of the best tight ends in football.
Not Charles or Orson Charles.
Yeah, I think they need...
That sounds like the guy that wrote 1984.
I think they need to find some offensive linemen, though. You know, Eric Fisher is what Eric Fisher is. He's just average. Mitchell Schwartz, he's a Pro Bowler. The other three, very pedestrian.
Laurent Duvernay-Tardif.
Yeah, Tardif. You know, he's intelligent.
Witzman.
Yeah. But that offensive line, midway through the season, they were terrible. Then they kind of found themselves toward the end of the season. And really, for a half, were really good. Alex Smith had all day to throw. He was on pace for about a 450-yard game. And then, of course, the Chiefs went vanilla. But this is going to be a team that's going to look a lot different next year, especially on the defensive side.
Isn't it crazy the ride that this Chiefs team put everybody through this year, where the first five games of the year, they were Super Bowl or bust. The next three, they might not be making a Super Bowl, but they're still pretty good.
Yeah, they were 6-2 at that point.
The next three, this is a terrible, terrible team.
Cleveland Browns.
And then the next four, pretty good.
Yeah.
They might make a run. And then they go and do that. It's just... it's hard to think about right now, because as a fan of a team, you invest so much, and then that happens, and you go through the roller coaster with them, and then it ends up like that. The other thing, when it comes to Patrick Mahomes next year, he just spent a whole year learning the offensive system of not only Andy Reid, but of Matt Nagy, the offensive coordinator. So it will be interesting to see what kind of changes that does for him. And maybe that'll be good.
Well,
I think it was tailored too much for Alex Smith, and they'll get something more toward Mahomes.
They've got the guy on the staff, Brad Childress. He's been a head coach, you know, with two teams. He knows a lot about football. I think he's going to be the guy that takes over.
I wouldn't be surprised to see that. And then the Chiefs, obviously, will get Eric Berry back next year after his injury.
And Dee Ford.
And Dee Ford will hopefully sometime never be hurt again. It could be the end of a guy like Derek Johnson, though.
I don't think there's any choice.
His contract is like.
There's no choice. Derek Johnson, you know, he'll be 36 next year. You know, that's ancient by football standards. Tom Bahali, I think he'll retire because he barely even saw the field this year. And then I mentioned before, you know, Pierre Lewis and Zombo. Where was Raheem Wilson? I thought he looked great against Denver.
He was out.
Okay. He played great against Denver.
Yeah, he got hurt.
Okay. So I think he's a good linebacker. He's another guy just can't seem to get on the field because he's always hurt.
So we are done with the Chiefs this year. So we might have to edit some promos and fix some things out and get that Butker's kick is up. It's right down the boulevard.
Yeah.
Might have to get some of those things out there and put some happy things like bullpup basketball and on Saturday night, KU basketball after finding a way to win. Before we transition into that, the other NFL games from the weekend, we had the stinker yesterday afternoon with Jacksonville winning 10-3. Not only did Jacksonville and Buffalo play a stinker of a game, but I took Jacksonville -7.5. And they won by 7. So they didn't even win for me there.
Yeah.
Atlanta with a good win over the Rams.
And no surprise.
No surprise to me.
You had the Rams, I had the Falcons. I'm still not a Jared Goff believer, and he really didn't play very well on Saturday.
And then yesterday afternoon, one of the better games of the weekend, New Orleans beating Carolina. New Orleans is a team that the way they play and the way their defense has really stepped up this year, they could be a threat to make a run to the Super Bowl, and they will match up with the Vikings, and I think that's a pretty good matchup for them. And then the Falcons get the struggling Eagles. The Falcons are favored in this game. Minnesota is still the favorite, but the Falcons are three-point favorites on the road in Philly.
The NFC is just very wide open. It's just going to be who gets hot the next 2 weeks that's going to make it. I mean, we know it's going to be Pittsburgh or New England. I still like New England, despite all the trouble they seem to be having off the field.
I thought you took Pittsburgh at the beginning of the
year. I did take Pittsburgh at the beginning of the year, but New England seems...
thought you were sticking with them. Mike Tomlin and Big Ben.
Yeah, but
Juju Schuster-Smith.
Big Ben being banged up, Antonio Brown being banged up. I did pick Pittsburgh to win it all. I will say that.
Who did you say they were going to play?
I had them against Seattle.
Well, yeah, not so much.
Yeah, I didn't know the Legion of Boom would go boom and everybody would get
hurt.
Everybody
break their leg.
And their offense was just terrible. Seattle's offense was really bad. They're going to have to make some major upgrades there. In fact, I think Seattle, I think you can about close the door on them. I think they're going to go into a rebuilding mode. But I said Carolina, New Orleans would be the best game of the weekend. It was. I had Carolina winning, and thank goodness at the end of the game, Sean Payton got taken off the hook by his team because he made a really dumb decision by not putting the football. But fortunately, his defense bailed him out, and New Orleans won.
So we will continue to talk about the NFL playoffs later on this week and the divisional round games that are coming up over the weekend, but no more Chiefs. Oh, boo-hoo, what a bummer. That bunch of losers found a way to blow another one at Arrowhead Stadium on Saturday. All right, we will wrap the show up after the break, and we will talk a little bit about the Bullpups after their wins at Circle from Friday night and look ahead to what they have coming up this week, as well as look at Big 12 basketball and where that is at right now after a couple of really good games over the weekend. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You are listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
All right, we're wrapping up today's According to Jim to begin the week this week. Lots of things happen over the weekend. Lots coming up this week as we're still in that basketball-football crossover phase, which is a fun time for people like us because you get some of the best football games and the best part of the basketball season is starting to pick up, especially when it comes to the college ranks. Big 12 play this weekend was great. West Virginia improved to 3-0 after beating Oklahoma over in Morgantown, and then Texas Tech with their win over Kansas State. They not only stay 3-0 and undefeated in conference play, but Texas Tech jumped up to number 8.
Wow.
In the
I think that's still
ranking.
A little high. I'm not sold on them. I'm kind of like with the L.A. Rams and Jared Goff. We'll see what happens when they go on the road a little more. They did win at Allen Fieldhouse, but I'm still saying it's KU, West Virginia, Oklahoma. I think TCU did themselves in by losing at home to KU because they've now lost two at home to start conference play. Baylor is Baylor. They'll find a way to mess things up. You look at the other teams. K-State lost Kamau Stokes for an indefinite period. They can't win without him. Oklahoma State, Iowa State looked pretty average. They met on Saturday to determine who's in last place now. And I think Oklahoma State, I believe, won that
they
game.
Did.
So, you know, it's you're starting to see the tears. It's almost like a three.
For me, after the weekend?
Yeah.
You're starting to – oh, I thought you meant the tears as in coming out of your eyes.
No, the like a three tiers. I think the top tiers, KU, West Virginia, and Texas Tech – or Oklahoma. I still think Texas Tech will fall back. TCU – you know, and Baylor, they're all in there together. So I think K-State, without Stokes, they're going to fall off. They're not going to be able to score enough points. And you got, you know, Iowa State, Oklahoma State. I know I left one out. There's another team in there somewhere.
Texas.
Yeah, Texas is going to be
one and two.
Yeah, they're going to be a spoiler, though. They don't shoot it well enough. So I still say KU, West Virginia, Oklahoma, And that's, in some particular order, that's how the top three is going
to
play out.
West Virginia rocketed up to number 2 in the top 10. Texas Tech 8, Oklahoma 9, KU 12, TCU is 16. So KU with 2 games this week, they will play at home against Iowa State, who's 0-3 in the league. Then they play K-State in Lawrence on Saturday. And so in still the recovery phase for K-State at this point without Kamau Stokes and the first couple of games for them without him, I think it will be tough for the Wildcats, especially. Yeah.
This should be a good week for KU.
Yeah.
And there's the rumor out of Lawrence is there may be some kind of definition today about Preston and DeSosa, maybe late this afternoon. Bill Self kind of let it slip. He says, I think we might see some movement one way or the other today. So let's get this. Either they play or they don't. Let's get it over with so KU can move on.
And then K-State, after losing to Texas Tech by 16 on Saturday, and I was watching that game while I was watching the Chiefs, and I think it was 40-22 at the half, and K-State was down, and I went, you know what? They're going to make this a game and then probably not be able to hang on. That you make that run, and they always use the expression that you use all your energy to get back into it, then you can't hang on once you get close, and that's kind of what happened.
K-State's one really good player away from, maybe being in the top 5 of the Big 12. They have 3 guys. Xavier Sneed's kind of a wild card. He's either really good or really bad. He was really bad on Saturday, and then they get nothing out of the post. That is their biggest deficiency right now, no post play.
So K-State, Oklahoma State at home on Wednesday, and then,
should win that
and then at KU. Top of the league, and I guess that KU will have to start paying attention to this. West Virginia is at home on Tuesday against Baylor. Then they are at Texas Tech on Saturday. And so that could be a 4-0 matchup there. OU takes on Texas Tech this week, too. So we will find out if Texas Tech is the real deal this week.
Yeah, this will tell us. This will tell us
for
sure.
With Texas Tech at Norman, and then West Virginia going to Lubbock on Saturday. So a couple of big 12 games this week. And then as we look ahead to what's happening for the Bullpups coming up this week on the basketball floor, Augusta at home tomorrow night starting at 6 o'clock, and then at Andale on Friday night. On the boys' side, those are both undefeated teams.
And that's what the Bullpups need. They need to play good teams, keep them sharp. They got their tournament coming up. After Friday's game with Andale, I believe on Monday, they'll figure out the pairings for the tournament.
Shane Bakus told me earlier today, Wednesday.
Wednesday, okay.
Is the day that they'll figure out.
Okay, so it's going to be a big week. Tournament's going to be fantastic. Wichita North is really good, we have found out.
Yeah.
Shawnee Mission East always brings a good
Free
team
State's
here.
Good.
And Derby, to me, is going to be the biggest threat. Derby has gotten it figured out ever since they lost the Bullpups. They've been really rolling people.
And the Derby girls have not lost since losing
right
up here their first game.
Yeah.
I think the boys
lost one
other after that. That was like
Derby boys lost their first 2, and then they haven't been beat since.
So that's coming up. And so that's why Tuesday night's game for the boys is very important.
Right.
Because if they lose, then they would be 7-2 going into the pairings for where they will be for the tournament. If they win, they're 8-1, which means they're probably either the 1 or the 2. And that's where you want to be
right
in terms of the bracket.
Right.
So Tuesday night's big against Augusta. It's also a league game. The girls for Augusta are 4-2.
Much
and
better.
The girls for Andale are 6-1.
Yeah, so
or 7-1. 6-1 or 7-1.
Big week for the Bullpup teams. Going to find out a lot about ourselves. And then next Tuesday, the girls go to Newton.
They're good.
Yeah, which is in the top 5 of Class 5A. So really good stretch of games for the girls coming up, and as well as the guys. Got a lot of stuff coming up for the Bullpups. A couple of swimming meets this week. Bullpups won at
Hutch and Salina South?
Yeah,
is that
Hutch,
right?
Hutch on Tuesday, Salina on Thursday. They won the El Dorado Invitational. Didn't even, Coach Morrow said, we didn't even have our A game. We didn't have some of our best swims. Still won. The wrestling team has at El Dorado on Thursday. Then, of course, the Newton Tournament Champions. It's going to be interesting to see how Rhett Edmondson and Scott Radke do. Those guys are undefeated on the year, been very impressive. They won championships at Burlington. The McPherson girls won the team championship, as did the boys. First time in Kansas history that has happened.
The other, before we end the show today, I want to dive back into basketball for one more thing. The other thing about Andale on Friday night for the boys is Andale came to the Roundhouse and won by 10 last year.
They whipped us.
And they return every single player from that team. Every single person that scored in that game is back on the team this year, which is almost the exact same scenario for the Bullpup Boys. But then you add in the factor of the football team losing to Andale to end the year. And a lot of those basketball players for Andale are football players, and the same goes for the Bullpups. This will be a revenge game in many, many ways on Friday night, and it should be a great atmosphere down
there. Yeah, Andale's a tough place to play, too. Gets pretty loud down there. It's going to be a great week of Bullpup basketball for sure.
Have you caught yourself back up on sleep? Are you feeling better? Because starting next week, we are rolling.
I know.
The game's on Tuesday individually, then the tournament's in back-to-back
And the tournament, I'm not there just for our game. I'm there for all 12 games. Because,
well, I'll hang out with you.
Because
then. I'll stay with you.
Post a story on midkansasonline.com after every single game. It's the only place you can find a game story on every single game of the tournament. So
I'll hang out with you then.
Okay, sounds good. And great hospitality room.
Ooh,
I know
what
you're
kind
gonna,
of snacks are we talking about?
We're talking the best.
Oh.
The next 2 weeks.
Little Debbie's?
Oh, well, not Little Debbie's.
Some oatmeal cream pies?
Well, there's some good stuff, let me tell you. And then the girls' tournament the following week, we get that frozen custard.
Ooh.
That I like. You bet.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking
there
about.
There you go.
We started the show on a low note. We will end it on a high note with frozen custard. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll see you tomorrow.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union and Four Seasons Realtors. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE. Well, I guess it's-